From the lovely Rainbow Room, high atop St. Pete Athletic, in the Warehouse Arts District, this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung, and today's guest, I'm so happy to welcome Nevern Covington, who is a St. Petersburg artist and has been for a while. Not a native, though. You were actually born in New York?
Yes, but I moved here when I was 7 years old.
Okay, so you did the whole high school thing and all of that.
Unfortunately, yes. You know what they say?
Yes.
Life doesn't imitate art, it imitates high school.
Anyway, Nevern and I go back a long way. She's been a friend of my family since those days, since she was in high school and I was 1 or 2 years younger. Long time ago, folks. But we are here because Nevern has a solo exhibition opening Saturday at the Morion Arts Center. It is called Into the Mystic, and it's a collection of her work, which we're going to talk about today. One of the things that I wanted to say, the first thing I thought of was, why is it called Into the Mystic? I know the Van Morrison song, and that's about it for me.
Well, because I'm not sure if the word is liminal, but I've been exploring liminal spaces, not necessarily because I don't start with an idea. In fact, if I ever did, I always start with an idea, but the work always does a 180 on me. It takes over. It's got a mind of its own.
And wow.
So pieces end up exploring that. Like some of the titles I have of pieces are Sliding Into Stillness and The Space Between Words. Mm-hmm. So my husband saw the first in the series, and he said, oh, another painting of gazing into the void.
And I can see that. I can see where, and Don's a funny guy, so I can see what he meant. Yeah.
But to me, the void is not the void. It's the, not sinkhole, but it's the ocean of possibilities.
That's the mystic.
That's the mystic.
Uh-huh. Nevern paints oils and watercolors, and she does what's called encaustic, is how you say it.
Encaustic monotypes.
Okay, and which means you use hot wax.
Correct.
Colored wax. I'm fascinated by this project, by this process, rather, because it lends a certain texture, and I think you use the word topography somewhere to the work. In other words, it's not just sort of one-dimensional, look at this. You feel it. You touch it. It's got that sort of
sucker punch sometimes.
Okay, well, tell me what the advantage is from your perspective as an artist to use that methodology, the encaustic wax.
Because I can't control it, and because I'm not nearly as facile as I am with other mediums. So when I explore a new medium that I don't have much control over, the possibilities explode even more because I don't know what to expect.
Are you saying ignorance is bliss? Is that what you're saying?
Well, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it is. And, people say, well, what does that mean to you? Or I see a man in there or something like that. And I do not start with a conscious desire to do any specific, evoke any specific imagery.
So in other words, it just turns out the way it's telling you, this is how I'm going to turn out.
Yes, but I also think diametrically opposed is, you know, I made my living, back when I made money off art, I made my living as an illustrator.
Yes.
Doing a lot of medical, a lot of technical, a lot of food packaging.
Yeah.
You probably might work in your refrigerator. I've done five books illustrated and probably about 90 book covers.
So the difference is you are an illustrator in a functional, I don't know if that's the word, functional illustrator. This is sort of letting the other part of your mind go.
Correct.
That's what it is. Has it always been that way? I remember you from the early days, if you'll forgive me, always being an artist, always drawing. That's what I remember. So did you start out like as a kid, I'm drawing, and then all of this came later? Oh, what's inside here? I'm pointing to my brain here. What's inside here? Is that how it started as illustrations?
Well, yes and no. If mothers are to be believed, my mother claims I drew my own safety pin on a high chair laptop, desktop. Oh. I've drawn ever since I can remember, and you know, all children draw. I just never stopped.
The inner child, or maybe the
either that or arrested development. I'm not sure which.
Which might actually be the same thing, you know, depending on who you ask. Your illustrations, though, for let's talk about you did children's books. You said you did medical books, a couple of cookbooks, I think.
Yes.
And food packaging. That's very specific.
And I also did for Penguin Putnam an illustrated guide to the joys of black sex.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet that was fun.
I was doing that the same time as I was doing Bible stories.
Wow.
So I had this pinned up next to my studio some porn and some lettuces.
Wow. That's the life of an artist. I mean, you take the gigs that you can get and, you know, whether they coincide or not. I'm curious because I know we did a story a number of years ago here at the Catalyst about the food packaging, and it was sort of healthy. Was it seeds? I can't remember exactly what.
Oh,
it was.
Well, I did.
It was very specific botanical stuff. I remember that.
I did a bunch of garden things for Target and scented candles and things like that that were all botanical. But I did a lot for Dole pineapple, for beech nut baby food, for Target, I did the Fresh Express salad packages, which I'm not sure if they're using my images on that. 80 Sherbert, which is Dreyer's on the West Coast, and Blue Bunny ice cream.
Wow.
Also.
So you're still in public somewhere.
The work is I'm not.
Well, you're not. No. Hey, Navern, what are you doing in there?
No, I burned out on those deadlines and waiting 4 months to get paid. Mm-mm.
There's a quote I found on your website, which I'm taking out of context, of course, because that's what we do here at Arts Alive, where you say that you are fascinated by the mystery of nature and the landscape of memory. Can you describe, I mean, let's say, for example, the paintings and the works that are in Into the Mystic, what are we looking at and where do they come from?
It's in my mind, and that's a scary place. Do you really want to go there?
yeah, okay. Yeah, Dr. Freud says yes.
No, they're from the unconscious primarily, because I'll find, without thinking about it, I find myself repeating certain shapes and gestures. And it's like, oh, that's in there too. Well, that's there. What does that mean? I also am a member of the Carl Jung Society, and it's pretty interesting to go to their meetings and bring some work. So the whole Jungian exploration of the mind and the psyche is absolutely fascinating to me, and it makes sense, because it tells me what I know that I don't know. It tells me what I don't know that I know.
I mean, that imbues the work, too. There's something very psychological about it. And, you know, it's not really just impressionism. It sort of seems like you're going somewhere. That's what I get from the work that I've seen.
Well, there's
going into the mystic, I suppose.
There's a series in that that actually have a bigger series, but they're using part of the series. They're small pieces, but it's called The Wanderer's Journey. Mm-hmm. So
it's part of this one. Yes. So is this a whole sort of, you're also a sculptor, by the way, and the assemblage stuff. You should go to NavernCovington.com?
Yes.
Okay.
And I make one-of-a-kind artist books. Somewhere.
The artist books, yeah, it was definitely, give me a minute, I want to talk about that. But you can see there's a whole breadth of what Navern does on her website, and it's pretty spectacular. You know, they're not serious paintings you see on the walls of motels, folks. This is really interesting art. And I think that it's a testament, as is the work of so many artists here, to the great breadth and creativity of the artist community we have here. Let me go back a few minutes. When you went to college in Europe, I think, France, wasn't it?
Well, I went to St. Pete College, USF. Echoed College, which gave me a scholarship. Mm-hmm. I was like 24 and a single parent at the time, and mm-hmm. and had given up hopes of going to college. And part of their program was an abroad program. So I went on that for a while, bringing my young son. And that was really kind of life-changing for me.
And then we don't really talk about degrees here because, frankly, who cares? I mean, we're all artists in a way. I think you got a degree from Eckerd, ultimately.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to remember where this line of questioning was going. At that point, I mean, did you think you made a career out of being an artist, or did you work in some other job that I've never known about? That none of us know about.
No, for the most part.
Did you run a restaurant or something?
No, God forbid. I did illustrate as a freelance illustrator for the now defunct Floridian magazine.
Oh, sure.
And I did a lot of work for them. That's how I got started, actually, mm-hmm. in the illustration. Basically, I had one skill, and I never learned to type because I didn't want to be the pink, part of the pink collar ghetto, a lot of that kind of stuff. So I did, but it was tenuous, and I still get royalties from my book on Helen Keller.
Tell me about that. I saw that in your CV. Tell me about the book on Helen Keller.
It's Random House, a third grade reading program, and it was fascinating, her life. I was just dumbstruck. I will have to share an amazing, strange, odd anecdote about that. During the process of illustrating that book, I worked a lot with the Helen Keller archives, mm-hmm. and they had to find out what a Braille typewriter looked like in 1934, whatever. So I worked pretty closely with them. Well, those archives were in the basement of the World Trade Center.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yep.
When did you do that book?
I forget. I think it was in the 90s.
So this is during that long stretch of career where you're working as an illustrator. Was there some moment, as we all, you know, get up in years, we finally go, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to focus on what I love. Was there a point when you said, I'm going to work on my creative artwork only?
Yes, but what facilitated that was a bunch of different things. The industry changed.
Yeah.
And everything changed, the stock. And I always wanted to do my own work. But after painting pineapples all day, I did not want to go and do my own work at night. And I don't work at night anyway. So there was a point, and it took me, I would say, 2 years to give myself permission to not have my identity as a wage earner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to reference something you said before that, you know, I'm a professional journalist and I still haven't learned how to type after all these years. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Is an artist born or made through time and circumstance? And I should have asked you this before. This is an artist question that I love to pose. Mm-hmm. You know, was that something that, like, you couldn't have done anything else with your life?
Yeah, that's probably true. I would say that. But I also think, of course, I teach. I taught at Ringling, mm-hmm. at Eckerd, another college. I still teach now in the winter at the Morian. Mm-hmm. I do think that anyone can draw or paint if they take that leap. And it's a leap into the abyss.
Certainly. And you have people around you, probably including your family, saying, you know, that's nice, but you'll never make a living with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Everybody. Every artist has a version of that.
Actually,
story.
I believed it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I believed it, but I didn't have other skills, so I had to, you know, survive.
Would you advise people to, you can go on your website and see a lot of your work, but as far as, you know, the sort of visceral quality of the topographic, the encaustic stuff, isn't it better to see it in person and actually go and experience that?
Oh, I think so very much. Also with the artist books, I try to, not everyone, every book has to be handled with white gloves, literally mm-hmm. white gloves, not figuratively. But like, for example, my 2x4 foot made out of tin and every kind of print, experimental printmaking in it, that is very tactile.
I remember you showed, when we did a story again a few years ago, you showed me a couple of the artist books. Describe that for the folks at home who can't see it right this second. What is an artist book?
It's, you know, some people are kind of like the anal retentive book binders. I am not one of those. I was asked to be in a book art show, and of course I had never done a book art. So I embark on doing my first one, which is the 2x4 foot one, by taking, somebody gave me old rusted ceiling tin tiles, and I took and put different kinds of paper and the summer rains and put a wet towel on them and let the rain pound into the paper until the, like, 3 or 4 days the rust transferred, and also it gave the paper a relief. And so,
how do you know how to do that? Is that just in your brain? I mean, I could never figure that out.
No, curiosity. The most important thing about being an artist is to be essentially and eternally curious.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, what if, what will happen if, what I do this? And of course, I wished I had, like, logged what kind of paper I used for each page. So initially, the first book had 2 pages. Then I just kept adding to it. I made artist books out of old Scantron report cards. I've made them out of, my most recent artist book is made out of a chinchilla body that I bought stole at a thrift shop, and it had the heads and the paws hanging down.
You made a book out of this?
Yes, but I made the lining of the book an essay on, I wouldn't say it's the ethics because I don't take a stand. I will tell you this, however, the name of the book is Notes from a Butcher's Daughter.
Mm.
And I am, in fact, a butcher's daughter.
Okay.
So.
The artist books to me, I mean, do they literally fold up? And you said handle them with kid gloves. And the dimensions are.
Some of them. I have some. Well, like I said, that's 2x4 feet.
Yeah.
It doesn't fold up. I have some that are 9x9, and then when you open it up,
feet.
It's 9x inches.
Inches.
When you open it
book.
Up, it's 9x72
yeah.
inches.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Is that an original idea, or did you sort of steal that from the French or something?
No,
or,
it's... Yeah. I have seen them before and always been fascinated because artists have been making them from time immemorial.
I think that's how that's said. We're going to look forward to seeing you Saturday. This is part of the Second Saturday Art Walk, and I guess the morning is part of that. I mean, we're all part of that. It's Saturday. That's the 11th from 5 to 9. You'll be at the reception?
Yes.
Yes.
On Friday and Saturday.
Oh, Saturday or Friday. Tonight is the members show is tonight, Friday.
Friday.
Right. And so Saturday is, it's a stop on the, of course, on the Second Saturday Art Walk. Morian has a couple of different openings that night, I think. What about the Morian? Tell me something nice about the Morian, because you say you teach there. And let's give them a little plug. I mean,
Well, it's a great place. There's something for everyone. I say that with hesitation because it makes it sound banal, but there really is something, from welding to clay to people working. I think there's 72 freelance instructors working with people with clay and disabilities. They've had the kids' camps are wonderful. There's a whole printmaking is back to the Morian. It was gone for quite a while. It's back. So it's a wonderful organization and a great space. And I've met some of the, actually, because his members show up too, I've met a bunch of people that are my students whose work is hanging in that show. I think the theme is sweetness, something or other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
The name of it.
It's sweet, folks. I wrote about it.
It's humorous.
Yeah. Do your students ever say to you, Navarin, teach me to paint like you?
No.
No?
No.
What are they? Because I know they just.
Fear of being belted in the teeth, probably.
You heard it here first.
But I do want to say also, I have an opening next Wednesday, July 15th, at the Florida History Museum. And the show is, the theme of the show is From Plate to Print. And it is an entire exhibition. I have three pieces in it with female printmakers from Pinellas County, which you would think would be a restrictive category. It's not.
You found each other. Where is this happening? Is it the St. Petersburg Museum? The St. Petersburg Museum.
The History Museum.
There you go. That's on the 15th.
On the 15th, it's from 5:30, I think, to 8.
Brilliant. Beautiful. Navarin Covington has been our guest today. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I always love running into you when we're out and about, and it's always good to see you again. Into the Mystic opens Saturday at the Morian Arts Center. 5 to 9 is the reception. It's also second Saturday art walk, so you have no excuse not to stop in, see it, and say hi to Navarin. I'm going to say goodbye to Navarin. Thank you so very much for being here today.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure, and also my pleasure to help promote the Morian.
Absolutely. We'll see you soon.
And the History Museum.